In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Having just completed my yearly retreat, part or one of the exercises that I undertake each year is an evaluation of the life that I have lived and the manner in which I have lived it, to give gratitude to God for the blessings received, to find out those areas that need to be improved, and to make recompense for the sins for which I am guilty. One of the things that is a constant recurring theme year after year is my failure to believe in the promises and the power of God. I am a man of faith. Yes, that is a true statement. But I think oftentimes my faith is tempered by a certain degree of realism, if you will, an expression that, well, yes, I believe in God, but... Or yes, I trust in the Lord, but only in certain circumstances. It would seem foolish of me to simply put out into the deep and give everything over to the Lord. He must expect, he must want from me a certain degree of my own industry, my own insight, my own strength. Well, the simple fact is he doesn't want any of those things from me. The very thing he wants for me is oftentimes the very thing that I refuse or I find myself unable to give him, and that is a life of faith rooted in a life of trust. Holy Mother Church teaches us that the virtue of faith is the personal adherence of man to God, consciously choosing the things of God, to cling to God above everything else, most especially in the face of those things that may seem reasonable, or in the sight of what men might say about how we choose to live our faith and embrace that trust and confidence in the Lord. Of course, sacred scripture is replete, as it is today in Matthew's gospel, of the fruit that comes from this life of trust and faith. The leper and the centurion from different worlds, different realities, dealing with different afflictions, but both of them with great faith come to the Lord and ask for what they need, hoping that indeed the Lord will respond to their particular request. But by virtue of the fact that they have approached the Lord and have manifested such great confidence, we know that they were willing to accept whatever the Lord would bestow upon them. The leper, of course, is healed. The Lord asks him to do what the law commands and sends him on the way. With the centurion, he goes even a step further to say that he will go to this servant of his, this man who is outside of the covenant, who does not know of God truly, and yet actually he knows of God. And then there is this remarkable expression of faith, faith rooted in this profound humility. Words which we ourselves repeat day after day if we are daily communicants, certainly Sunday after Sunday. Non sum dignus. Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word and indeed it shall be done. To the servant, yes, but to us also as well. And the Lord says, I have not seen such great faith. They will come from all over to see the fruit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who are the children of the covenant, because they have not kept faith, will find themselves in darkness outside, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not enough, brothers and sisters, that we believe. We must manifest that faith in God by acts of faith in God. And the greatest act of faith of God is to continue to put one foot in front of the other, most especially when things are difficult to do. To put trust in the Lord when everything else surrounding us has abandoned us or betrayed us or left us bereft. To find our confidence in the Lord even when it seems to be failing in the life of Holy Mother Church herself. To go day by day and confess, I do believe. In my unworthiness, in my humility, in my weakness, in my sin, I know it is better to be in all of those with God than some self-described, self-proclaimed, worldly understanding of my dignity and authenticity. In truth, the world has very little, if anything, to give to us. Material things, yes, but those are gifts that come from God anyway. Whatever blessings we received are those things that He has bestowed upon us. And so why do we constantly look to the world to provide for us when God is the one who already has provided for us? Well, I ultimately cannot answer that question for you. I can encourage you to ask it. But it was the question that I asked myself. Why do I continue to do this? And it comes back to the very simple and yet profound reality. I don't actually have enough faith. I simply do not. Even though I might say that I do, I might be perceived that I do, the actual truth is my life would be absent of anxiety and instead filled with peace. I would be able to put aside the fears that at times sometimes keep me up at night as to what our future is and what things might happen to us and how I might respond to them. I would nurture the grudges and sometimes the angers that rest in my heart that sometimes then can bubble over into bitternesses if I had faith in God. Now, at this juncture, we might be asking ourselves, or we might even be saying with a certain degree of smugness, well, Monsignor, it really isn't that simple. Well, actually, it is that simple. This is how God actually is for us, because we are the ones who complicate things and make it more difficult than it actually has to be. The Lord has told us what we need to do, how we can accomplish it. He's given us the grace to do it. The only thing required of us is to cooperate with God, and our cooperation at times can be minimal. And yet we persist again and again in trusting in ourselves, going our own way, leading in our own direction. And look at what happens to those who trust in the Lord. They're healed. Certainly healed in body. Yes, that's what actually happens. But we know that for all of the healing miracles that take place in sacred scripture, they also point to that greater healing that the Lord himself would effect for us upon the cross, that healing in spirit. The body will eventually turn weak and it will be frail and it will, in a sense, end us. But not completely and totally. And in the fullness of time, when God has so ordained, our body and souls will reunite one with another. But we must always allow the Lord to heal us in the very depths of our beings, most especially in those places where it might be difficult to shine light, but the very place where light must be in order that we can have a deeper faith and trust in the Lord. I think we all are quite aware, none of us are under any illusions of this being an easy task, because you know as well, maybe better than I, the world in which we live. Certainly the ecclesial dynamics that are surrounding us make it at times difficult to do this, but it really simply doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is our faith in the Lord, our trust and our confidence in the Lord. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, and I think we all know this, whether it is longed experiences or maybe even just a glimpse, we know that in truth, when we do this, the peace that actually comes. Not that our lives are free from difficulty, not that our lives are absent any struggles, but in the midst of those struggles, those sacrifices, those sorrows, those things that we must endure, we find the strength to be able to endure them. After all, at the heart of the requests made by the leper and the centurion was an awareness that they were incapable of doing this by themselves. They needed someone, the one, to intervene on their behalf and to give them what it is that they needed. And so they asked in faith, and in that same faith, as the Lord himself testifies, they receive that which they have requested. And so it will be for each of us. God will give us those things that we need. God will hear the prayers that are in correspondence to his divine providence. Therefore, don't attack caveats to your requests from God. God, I want this in this way, in this time, in this manner. It doesn't work that way. Lord, these are the things that I need, and I bring in humility these requests before you. Lord, I am not worthy, and yet still I approach you. Which we will do in this altar of sacrifice, in this holy sacrifice, which we then must also do in every moment of our lives. The Lord enjoins the centurion in much the same way as he enjoined the leper to go. What it is that you've asked in faith has been bestowed upon you. And so it will be for us at the conclusion of Holy Mass. We will be sent forth. Not only on mission, if you will, to evangelize a new understanding of this being sent forth, but rather we are sent forth to put into practice the gift that we have received. And maybe just for today, to live well this life of faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. Search your hearts, your minds, your souls, what it is that you need from God, and bring it before Him. And then, clinging to Him, trust that He will give you all good things, obviously in this life, in preparation for the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.